we left off last week, we were talking about the different reasons why the halacha requires dasa isha for kedushin. The fact that dasa isha is necessary, that's not question. That's not even a question. Of course, you can't be mekashe a woman against her will. But the question is, why not? Just technically, purely halachically, why not? So we had three different possibilities in the Rishonim last week. One possibility was, it's just as simple as selling a car. Just as you require das makna to sell anything, so too you require das isha to be, quote-unquote, makna herself, which of course led us down that whole road of trying to understand what exactly the role of hakna is, what exactly mekach memkar is as it relates to kedusha. But that was one approach. The second approach was, what we quoted the name of the Ran last week, that it's not so much that she's makna herself, but rather she's mafkir herself. And when she's mafkir herself, then he is zochan her. Again, the similarity between the first two pshatim is that they're both dinim amunus. It's just that they're focusing on highlighting different aspects of dinim amunus. And the third, what Rashi and Yevamos presented, is that it's really not dinim amunus at all. It's really a pasuk chumash. It's a special, unique din to kiddushin. A holcha mahoisel ishachir, a special exercise kosov that requires the woman to do it out of her own free will. The three possibilities. And the question we ended off at the end of the shiur last week was, at the end of the day, my nafkamina. At the end of the day, if you try to force a woman to have kiddushin, it's not going to work. So, manafkamina, whether we formulate it in terms of das makne, das hefker, especially because it's a kosov, at the end of the day, who really cares? So, there is a potential nafkamina that the Achronim point out. The Abdul Miluim already addressed this nafkamina. In terms of what is the role or lack thereof of Edim vis a vis dasa isha. We know that Kedusha without Edim is meaningless. If a person tries to be Kaddish and Isha, even though he agrees he wants to get married, she consents to getting married, but there are no witnesses present. So it's ein chosh in the kedusha. It's absolutely nothing. That's what we call an halacha edus lekiyam hadav. Edus lekiyam hadav means that you need edim just to declare the very essence of the kedusha. Whether everyone agrees, doesn't agree, it's irrelevant. Edim are necessary as an integral part of the kedusha. So which part of the kedusha did the edim have to watch? So they obviously have to watch whatever is part of kedusha. Must the edim be aware that the woman is consenting? They're watching a giving of a ring. They're watching a receiving of a ring. But they're not really sure at the time that the woman really agreed to what was going on. What kind of a case, what kind of scenario is that? So the post will discuss a real shaila. What if the man is mekaddish the woman using a type of words that we're not sure everybody even understands? Now there's a sugya later on in Dafav about different nuances of lashon of kedushin. We don't take any chances with this. We get married, we use the same standard phrase, mekudesh. Everybody knows what mekudesh means. But in theory, you could use other kinds of lashonos that the woman may not even be familiar with. So what would the din be in the following case? A real shot, what would the din be? A man gives a ring to a woman, and he says, hareya, something or other. He uses some kind of obscure lashon, and she accepts the ring. And then an hour later, we're trying to figure out, did she know what was going on or not? And she says, absolutely, of course I knew what was going on. And we asked the Edom, did you know at the time that he gave the ring that she knew what was going on? And the Edom said, no, we weren't really sure. We see an hour later that she knows what's going on. Now that she's telling us that she accepted it willingly, but that's not enough for Kedushin. For Kedushin, what's necessary is, dover, the special exercise of Kosov teaches us, that the Edom must be aware that they're witnessing a Kedushin as they're witnessing a Kedushin. So did they witness a Kedushin or not? So comes the Avdim Bloom and says, well, it depends. It depends, why did you need Das Isha in the first place? If the reason that required Das Isha is a Kedushin to Kedin, it's integral to Kedushin proper, so then as long as the Edom didn't see the Das Isha, they weren't cognizant of the Das Isha, that's like the Edom not knowing it's a ring, like the Edom not knowing it's a Shabruta. The Edom weren't aware of the fact that they were watching Kedushin. But if you hold, the Das Isha is not really Kedushin. It's not really rooted in Ilchus Kedushin. Das Isha is rooted in Dinim Amunus. It's rooted in the monetary aspect of Kedushin, whether it's the Das Makna of selling the car of Rashi, whether it's the Das Hefker of the Ran. It's not Kedushin proper. It's Mamunus. Mamunus, we can determine later. So we'll figure out later what did the woman agree or not. If we can figure out that she consented, then retroactively we'll declare that the woman is Mekudeshes. So it potentially could be important, la'alocha, as to what exactly the role is. But again, the normal weddings, so obviously he's consenting, she's consenting, Edom knows she's everyone's happy, Shalom Yisrael. We know that a regular Kedushin, of course, is presupposed that there's Das Isha. But now we have to go back to the original kasha. We got onto the sugya in the first place. If you go all the way back to the first page of Mamar Kovas again, we got pretty sidetracked. It was about 2 days to get sidetracked because we were addressing a question that appeared in the Rashba. Just to back all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, so we learned from the Gemara in the first of the Mamar Kovas that the Gemara had a havamina that you don't need Dasa Isha. Let's go back to the first of the Mamar Kovas for a minute. It's the second to last line. towards the end of the line, the Ibai Seima, Itana Kona, if the Mishnah would have said Ish Kona, putting the emphasis on the man, Hava Mina, I would have said Afilu Biakarcha, I would have said that he could be Makadish and Isha against her will. Tana Isha Niknes, therefore taught us Isha Niknes, the Midai to Inshla Midai to Lot, to teach us this halacha that it cannot be done against her will. So comes the Rashba, and the second Amar comes and asks, so Yeshua Shekhsha, somebody asked, Afilu Tanya Ishkona, even if the Mishnah would have said Ishkona, which maybe would have been more stylistic, more grammatically correct, how would you have ever dreamt that you could be Makadosh and Isha Biakorcha? Where do we ever find being buying things, selling things against the will of the owner? So the Rashba quotes the question just on the style of the Shachvatar, the Gemara. What were we thinking? We need a Mishnah to offset a Havamina that maybe Kedusha could have been Biakorcha. No one in a million years would have ever said such a crazy thing. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? What's Pshat in the Mishnah? So we're back to square one. So we spend 3 days trying to figure out what Dasa Isha is all about, but when all the dust settles, you need it. When all the dust settles, it's obvious that you need it. And it's so obvious, why would we have even thought otherwise that you need a Mishnah to offset that mistaken Havamina? So now we have to go to another sugya that appears in Maseches Bava Basra and get into a little bit of a strange type of a Kiddushin, which may actually override some of the aspects of Das Ish that we've been talking about. And hopefully when we figure out the strange scenario of Kiddush, maybe we'll have a little bit of a better insight into Agamara. So again, we're really learning Kiddush in Abayz. We're trying we have one kasha. It's taken us 3 days, one kasha. Why does the Gemara tell us that we need a Mishnah to tell us you need Das Ish? Isn't it obvious? So let's see how obvious it is or is not. So we take a look at the 13th of the Ramakamos. So the Gemara starts out in Bava Basra, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, not talking about Kiddushin yet, but giving us a background. Amar Avuna. The 30th of the Mamakom is Amar Avuna, Taliyuo V'Zabin Zvine Zvine. If somebody is literally hung up, he's forced, and the physical force to sell something, so the Mechira is going to be valid. Somebody's beaten up long enough to sell something, so technically speaking, the Mechira will be good. Now again, we're not giving you a big ishkrach for doing this. We're not going straight to Lamhabla for beating the guy up. But in terms of pure Diri Mamanis, so technically speaking, it would be okay. It would be okay in the sense that the Mechir would be valid after the fact. So the question is, where does this come from? What kind of a strange statement is that? That Taliyuo V'Zabin Zvine Zvine. So the Gemara tries to figure out what the source of this is. So my time, what's the reason for Rav Huna? The Gemara says, Kol D'Mazbin Inish, Ilav the Onis, Lo Ava Mazbin. Says the Gemara, psychological insight, whenever you sell anything, you don't really want to sell it. It's, I have my house, I'd really much rather stay in my house. But Nebuchadnezzar, I have to sell my house, I need the cash, I have to sell it. I would rather not sell my item, but Nebuchadnezzar, I have to sell it. And still the Torah says that Mechiras work. Why don't we turn around and say, every time you sell your house, when you don't really want to, it shouldn't be valid, because it's the Mechira B'Yab Korcha. So what do you see from here? That Baal Korcha is Lav Dafka. If, at the end of the day, you consent, no matter what forced you to consent, whether what forced you to consent was that you needed the cash, whether what forced you to consent was somebody had a gun to your head, if at the end of the day you said those magic words, Rotzani, you gave in, you sold it, quote-unquote willingly, we have a very, very expanded definition of willingly, if at the end of the day you give in, so that's considered to be a Mechira. The Gemara says, what? How in the world can you compare the two? He says, in the case that we're talking about, there's an external force, there's an external shela bial korcha. Somebody's coming from the outside putting a gun to your head, that's no good. If I'm under my own duress, what's my duress? I can't make ends meet. So I'm selling my house, which I really would rather not sell. But ultimately, that's the decision that I came to on my own. So how in the world can you extrapolate from a person who's under his own, quote-unquote, duress to somebody who's under duress from a third party? So he must say, that svar is not good. So it must be that Rav Huna is based on something different. Elikah d'Sanya. It must be that's based on a different story. Yakrev oso, malamit shekofet oso. There is a principle when a person brings a korban that if he does it, if he's dilly-dallying, he doesn't want to bring the korban. So the Torah says, Yakrev oso, that they could force him to bring it. Beis Din can force a person to bring a korban. So comes the Gemara and says, Yachob Yakorcho, I might think they could really force a guy took a neder, he's going to bring a korban Allah, and he's not doing it. So Beis Din can mamish go and beat him up and make him bring the korban. Really, Tama Lem Lertzono. The Torah says it has to be Lertzono, it has to be willingly. So now we have a contradiction between these two terms. On the one hand, Beis Din is given a certain degree of of authority to force the person. So Yaakov Asel teaches us Shekovin Asel. On the other hand, the Torah steps back and says, Lutzono. So how do you resolve these two halachas? Hakeitzad? The answer is, Kofin Asel Shiyomar Rotzani. So the answer is that Beis Din can force him to agree. So at the end of the day, he has to consent. If he's still screaming and yelling, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, and they're dragging him in to the base of it, that's not going to work. But what Beis Din can do is they can make it worth his while to go through it to say, Rotzani, that he really wants to do it. So what do you see from here? That the Torah does accept the principle that Rotzon doesn't mean that it's totally, completely from your own volition. Rotzon can be superimposed. I don't really want it, but if it's enough pressure on me to say those magic words, Rotzani, so that's going to work. So the Gemara wants to extrapolate, just like, as that works in the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, based on these psukim, so too that should work in the marketplace as well. So if a person is forced to sell something, if he's screaming and yelling, I'm not selling, and you take it anyway, that's called gezeila. But if you're forcing, and he says, okay, I'm going to do it, that's not called gezeila. I mean, you're a terrible person. Maybe you're a little sachmod, and you're a Russia, and I don't know what we'll do with you. But in terms of tachlis, was the sale valid? So just as the korban is valid, that's called lertzono, so too, selling under those circumstances is called lertzono. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not a good proof. V'duma shani hasa, maybe that's different. The nichle de tevele kapara. In that case, in the person's heart of hearts, he probably really does want a kapara. So right now, he's having a little trouble with his yitzhara. So we give him a little bit of a push, a little bit of a force, to make him do what he probably wants to do anyway, deep down inside. Sometimes you have to peel away some of the layers, get very, very deep, but deep down he really wants it. Whereas over here, deep down, he does not want to sell his house. The only reason why he's selling the house is because the guy's got a gun to his head. The Gemara, so far, 0 for 2. So we're still trying to figure out what Rav Huna's source was. So Rav Huna came with this grandiose statement, tell you of his ovens, vine, zvine. So the Gemara challenged Rav Huna, look, my time, what's the source? So first the Gemara thought it was based on just a simple svar, the rest of the svar is not correct. Then it's based on a pasuk, the pasuk is not applicable here. So the element is safe. It must be based on a third din that appears in the safe of that Mishnah. The Chedet Ha'omer Begite Noshim, Kofet Asot Shiyomar Rotzani. There is a similar parallel din when it comes to giving a get, also called Kofet Asot Shiyomar Rotzani. That the din is that a husband must give a get Mirtzono. That's a given. Third describes the Hayim Lotzim Tzachavienav Kimatzma. He's giving it Mirtzono. He's giving it out of his own free will. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that under certain very, very unique circumstances, so force can be applied to make the person give a get. Kofet Asot Shiyomar Rotzani. Those are very, very, very limited in scope. And Bizman Hazeh, especially in a country where some of the methods are against the law, so under no circumstances is the person permitted to use those kinds of methods, as unfortunately we've seen that they've been, whatever, leave it at that for now. But the bottom line is, in theory, there is such a din called Kofet Asot Shiyomar Rotzani. So comes the Gemara and says, how could it be? How could you be Kofet Asot Shiyomar Rotzani? But don't you need Ratzon Ha-ish to give the get? So you see from here, that's also called Ratzon. You see that the Torah has an all-encompassing definition of Ratzon. Ratzon can be superimposed. So if Ratzon can be superimposed in a case of a get, so that it can be superimposed in the case of selling a car, so Tov Yehov Zabin should be good. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not a good proof. That's called 0 for 3. It's called strikeout. V'duma shani ha-sam de-mitzvah l'shma de-vichacham. There is different, because in the guy's heart of hearts, he really wants to do the right thing. Mitzvah l'shma de-vichacham. The Chama telling him, listen, the halacha declares you are obligated to give this get to your wife. Whatever the reason, whatever the background, whatever the case was, the halacha dictates you are obligated to give this get to your wife. And the guy says, I don't want to. So the Beis Din says, you better do it. The guy says, I don't want to. Beis Din makes it worth his while to say, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. So the din is that the get is valid. How is it valid? You need ratzon ish. So the answer is, that's cool. Ratzon abal. That's considered to be ratzon. We cannot extrapolate from there to buying and selling cars, because that's different. Because there, in his heart of hearts, he wants the mitzvah l'shma d'vichacham. When I sell my house, there's no mitzvah l'shma d'vichachamim. So therefore, we have absolutely no source for Rav Huna. So Rav Huna had three possibilities, and all three were rejected. So what is Rav Huna's reason? El esvarahu agav einse gomru makna. So the Gemara says, I don't need a source. It's just simple ABC, it's simple logic. What's the logic? That tachlis, the bottom line is, the person is agreeing. At the end of the day, he is agreeing. Why is he agreeing? So the Gemara explains that there are two factors that are combining together to make the person agree. Number one, he is getting paid for the house. If I go ahead and I say, okay, give me that house, give me that car, and then I just take it away from him without compensating him, we call that gezeila. So he is getting compensated. And in the end of the day, he did agree. So again, it's true, he agreed on the force, on the duress, but he agreed, and he got compensated for it. So that's the chiddush of Taliyub Azabin's Vinay's Vinay. So when all the dust settles, I can't really derive this from Gittin, I can't derive from Kabanos, I can't derive from regular sales. That's the din of Rav Huna. That was the chiddush of Rav Huna. Agav Onse Gomer Machna. So there are two factors combining together. Number one, he is ultimately consenting, and he's getting paid. If those two factors combine, then the halacha of Taliyub Azabin kicks in. So this Gemara, again, is a startling Gemara, but what becomes even more startling is the next application of this Gemara. That's the 14th of the Maamar Kamos. So I streamlined the whole Amud of the Gemara for us. So I just got to the point that the punchline becomes relevant for us. So the Amar Amemar. So Amemar made the following comparison. Taliyua v'kaddish kiddushav kiddushin. Comes at Amemar and says, this is not fundamentally different, the case of Kiddushin, in the case of selling a car. Why is that? Just as when it comes to selling a car, if I force you to sell the car, you consent to sell the car, I give you the money for the car, so you got what you wanted. I mean, you wanted, in theory you wanted, you were willing to say Rotzani. So Rav Huna told us, tell you of his abin's vine's vine. So Amemar says the same will work when it comes to Kiddushin. If you force the person, force the woman to accept the ring, and you say, now listen, I'm giving you a ring. I'm not taking it for now. I'm giving you the ring. So I'm giving you the Kiddushin. And she is saying she consents. So Amemar says it's going to work, even though she's not really too happy about the Shidduch. So comes the Gemara and says, no, that is not true. Ma'ar b'ravashi yomar b'isha v'adi Kiddushin lo havu. Says Ma'ar b'ravashi, that's the Wipask in Lalachano. There's no way by Kiddushin that this is going to carry through. It's bad enough, it's hard enough to understand it by selling cars and selling houses. But by Kiddushin, forget it, it's not going to work. Why is it not going to work for Kiddushin? Amemar was right. In terms of Lomdus, Amemar was right. It's the same sugya. This is a Mechir and that's Mechir. This is Niknes, this is Niknes. This is Ratzah, this is Ratzah. So what's the difference? So Rav Ashi said, Amemar is right in Lomdus, but he's not correct in practice. Why is that? Be'isha lo have a Kiddushin. Why? Who also shelo kehogen lefikach also imo shelo kehogen vafkin rabban lekedushin minay. This guy is mamshabam. He's beating the woman up. He's coming to her and saying, "I insist that you marry me," and she says no. And I insist, and he puts a gun to her head, literally or figuratively, and she quote unquote consents. So even though in theory the din should have been tell you of a kedushin, Mar Rav Ashi says we as a Beis Din are going to be what we call mafkia the kedushin. We're going to declare that the Kiddushin is batal. We're going to declare the Kiddushin doesn't exist. That's the principle called Afkin Rabban on the Kiddushin Minei. How? What gives us the koch to do such a thing? So there's the Gemaras and Yavamas and Iksubas and Gittin and in many places, but the Gemara discusses the intricacies of what this koch is all about. When does Beis Din have a right? Under what are the guidelines for Beis Din to be Mafkia Kiddushin? So the Gemara explains that the principle of Kiyah Kiddushin is a very complicated principle. It may be based on Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. The Beis Din could declare that the ring is not really his. It could be based on the fact that he said, Mekudesh Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, so maybe he made a Tanai, Al Das Techacham, and they refused to agree to the Tanai. There are different approaches in the Rishab, just how the mechanics of Afkina work, but it is something that exists. So therefore, Ma'abra Rav Ashi said, this is going to be a good time to apply. If not now, then when? This is a good place to apply Afkinu. To this guy is trying to be such a maneuver and trying to force the woman to getting married, it's not going to fly based on the principle of Afkinu. But if not for Afkinu, if not for that almost quote-unquote extra legal protection that the Chachamim sometimes have, the din is that the woman would have been Mekudeshes. Because Taliyu of Izabin's Vinei's Vinei would have been an acceptable application in this particular sugya. So we have to stop for a minute and ask ourselves, wait a second. Taliyu of Izabin's Vinei's Vinei would have played out here correctly? Is this a correct application of Taliyu of Izabin's Vinei's Vinei? There's a big problem. Because when we presented the sugya of Taliyu of Izabin, forcing the guy to sell the car, forcing him to sell the house, we said there are two things that must take place before Rav Huna's din can be put into effect. Again, it's hard for us to understand Rav Huna's din. With all the work that the Gemara does, it still somehow doesn't sit right with us. But okay, Rav Huna said it with Makabel. But there are two conditions that have to be met. Number one is the guy's at the end of the day, quote unquote, agree, whatever shape or form that means. But more important, he has to get paid. He has to get compensated. Because if he doesn't get compensated, so then that's not Taliyu of Izabin. That's called Gazela. So there's no question that Taliyu of Izabin only makes sense when he gets compensated. So come to Rishonim and ask a question. How does that second condition play out in the realm of marriage? So when I force the person to sell the car, I understand. Car's worth $20,000. I hand them $20,000 in cash. That's called tell you of his oven. The case in a marriage, what am I handing her exactly? What am I compensating this woman? What am I giving her for the marriage that's almost making it worth her while to say those magic words, rotzev, to mean something in halacha? So the Rashba, I didn't put this Rashba in the memorandum, the Rashba of Abbasra. The Rashba of Abbasra quotes from his Rebbe, from Rabbeinu Yonah, who has a startling statement on this sugya. Ben Yonah says, what do you mean, what's the woman getting compensated? She's getting a ring. She's getting a pruta. So, Makadish Isha Nikes Bepruta, she's getting a pruta. So Ben Yonah says, what do you see from this Gemara? An unbelievable thing. That when we speak about compensation doesn't have to be exactly the right amount. Compensation has to be the going rate for Kedushin is a pruta. So that's good enough. So comes Ben Yonah and now extrapolates. It says, and what would the din be if I go to a guy and I say, I want to buy this house from you. The guy says, it's not for sale. And I say, no. Now it is for sale. And I force you to sell me the house. And the going price in the house is $1 million. And I give you $1. What would you say about that? Would you say that the mechira is good? So you won't believe it? Ben Yonah says, yeah, the mechira is good. What are you talking about? How can the mechira be good? So Ben Yonah says, I explained to you. It's very simple. The woman is worth so much money, I give her a pruta. The Gemara said it's okay. I mean, it's not literally okay because the Chum ultimately will mafkir the Kedushin. But minat Torah, the woman is mekudeshes. That somehow giving her a pruta suffices to be called, tell you of his oven, zvide, zvide, midaraisa, taka work, because I quote unquote compensated her, I gave her a pruta. So if a pruta works for Kedushin, why shouldn't a pruta work for mechira as well? So comes a Ben Yonah and says, and what would the same din be if it comes to a car? I sell you, I come and I say, I want to buy a car from you, and you say no, and I say yes, and I force you, and the going rate for the car is $20,000, and I give you $1, says Rabbi Yonah, says, no, that's not going to work. What's the difference? How come when it comes to the house it works, and when it comes to the car it doesn't work? So Rabbi Yonah says, very simple. There's a rule called Ein Onah L'Karkos. If I sell you something, and I cheat you on the price, so the Mishnah tells us in the Seches Bavitzia, based on Psuchim in Chumash, that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cheat a person in buying and selling. Not only are you not allowed to cheat a person, but depending on how much you cheated, the whole sale is going to become invalid. You know, the guy can force me to take the money back, etc. We can have to start all over again. That's what's called Onah and Bitul Mekka. Whole sugya is in the fourth parak of Betzia. So those rules of Onah don't apply to Karka. The brother asks from Sukkim, ain't Onah the Karkos. So comes Rabbi Yonah and says, if I give you $1 for a $20,000 car, that's not called giving you the price of the car. That's not the price of the car. That's cheating. If I give you $1 for $1 million house, in another kakos, karka doesn't have a price tag on it. So just as in another kakos, so too for the purpose of taliyah of his oven, even given a pruta would be enough. So the Rashba quotes his Rebbe and vehemently disagrees with his Rebbe. He says, what's the connection between the two? The Rashba says, in another kakos, it's a special din, it's exeris hakos of the kashlamai. Over here, tachlis, the guy's not consenting. The only thing that led us to believe that the person is ultimately consenting to this deal is that he's getting fair compensation. He's not getting any compensation. He's getting garnish. He's getting a dollar for $1 million piece of property. That's not we don't fundraise that way, right? $1 million property. You got to raise $1 million. You got $1. They're not going to help you for $1 million property. So comes the Rashman says that's not going to work. By mechiris, it's not going to work. By kedushin, maybe it's going to work. You know why? Because kedushin, I'm giving her a pruta. Well, that's what the going price of Kiddushin is. We all know, we stand on the chuppah. What is the Masada Kiddushin, I ask you? Is this ring worth a pruta? I don't care whether it's worth a pruta, whether it's worth 1,000,000 prutas. The going rate for Kiddushin is a pruta. So when it comes to Kiddushin, I understand that giving her a ring, so I quote-unquote compensated her for the Kiddushin. When it comes to buying a field, buying a house, I have to compensate you appropriately, whatever the going rate is. But I quote upon him, both Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba say that the compensation that's taking place is the ring under the chuppah. Tosfos has the same kasha, and Tosfos says, no, that's not the compensation. She got forced into the getting married, so to speak, and Minat Torah we're going to declare that she's mekudeshes because she was compensated. Compensated with what? With the $2 ring, that's the compensation. Says Tosfos, no, you know what the compensation is? He's got bills for the rest of his life. He has to support her now. She'er ksus Fiona. He's got to pay her credit card bills. That's going to be a lot of compensation for a long, long time. So that's the compensation. Now again, At the end of the day, we're not going to let this condition happen because it's shalok ha'hagin. He acted inappropriately. So we're going to be mafkiyah the condition. But if not for the afkasa condition, minat Torah would have worked because, yes, she was compensated appropriately. Either she was compensated with a ring, she was compensated with a lifetime of obligation. At the end of the day, she received her due compensation. So getting back to that story now. We have now a din in Dini Mamunis called Tal Yuv Zabin Zvini Zvini. We have minat Torah, the application to kedushin. And now we have, we're scaling back with the Rabbanan and saying, no, it doesn't work. With the Rabbanan, with all the rotsanis and all the compensations, and ahakol mikokol, at the end of the day, really, truly, you need Das Isha. Das Isha doesn't mean a forced Das. Das Isha means a real, honest-to-goodness consent. So comes the Rashba and says, now that we just spent the half hour learning the Sugya of Basra, so now we can begin to understand the Gemara condition of Beis. We can only understand the Beis in condition to the eyes of Basra. Let's take a look now at the 15th of the Maamar Kamos. When the Rashba asked the Kasha, he quoted someone who asked the Kasha, what do I need a Mishnah to tell me that she's Anima Kudeshes without consent? I figured it out on my own. Says the Rashba, V'ishtemetise, the person who asked that question almost forgot the Gemara Basra. V'ishtemetise tell you of his abin zvine zvine, but tell you of a Kaddish, condition of Kedushin. He forgot that the Gemara Bava Basra says that Me'ikir Adin, forcing should work. The Agav Onsa Dezuza Gomer Makdeh Nafsha, because she gets the money, she's getting the money, or she's getting the ring, or she's getting the Shek, whatever she's getting, so therefore she's willing to give in and sell herself, she's willing to be with Kudeshes. Ki HaMeimah Disneach HaPercheskes, as a Meimah says in Percheskes about him. V'hocha Labi HaKorach L'Gamri Ko'amar, when the Gemara says that I need a Mishnah to tell me that you can't be Mekadosh and Isha B'HaKorcha, that means L'Kai Gavra, that means in this case the Taliyov is up in. The Kaimblan Kravashi Demahosam, the Isha and Mukudeshes, do us a Shlagogin, us a Shlagogin. That's exactly what Amish is talking about. Amish is coming to offset a Mamer. Amish is coming to say, you, a Mamer, said that she could be Mukudeshes because Tal Yuv Zabin works by Kedushin. So the Diuk of the Mishnah is no. Viduki Doch Kravashi Asya. That the Diuk of Amish is Dafka to tell me that Ravashi, Mar Ravashi, whoever said the statement, that it doesn't work by Kedushin. So what did the Rashi just tell us? The basic din of Ratzon Isha, the fact that you have to get some consent, you can't mamish just drag her to the chuppah and she's screaming no, that's so pashut, I don't need a mishnah to tell it to me. Why is that pashut? The first case, the bare bone minimum case of when she's screaming and yelling, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it, you can't do it, either because you need das makne, or you need das hefker, or you need v'holch of v'hoys al ishacher. That was last week's year. So the basic level on the level of the araisa, that you need a basic consent, that's so pashut, I don't need a mishnah to tell it to me. But I could construct the scenario where I have that basic consent minat Torah, i.e. invoking the din of Tal Yuv Zabin Zvini Zvini. So I could have conceived that in the second level where she wasn't thrilled about it, but she gave in, she caved in under duress, and now she says Rotsanig against her will before, or whatever you want to call it. So that I could have conceived should work. That's not last week's sugya. Last week's sugya was just to teach me that if she's screaming and yelling to the end, it's not going to work for Das Makta, Das Hefked, Avach Vaisa, whatever reasons we said last week. The Chiddush of the Mishnah, of the Kedushin of Beis is, even in a scenario where I've got her through the principles of Tal Yuv Zabin, Itaka should have worked. Because she did say Rotsani, and she is getting compensated, whatever compensated means, she is going along with it. I would have thought that's okay. Kamash below the Mishnah, that's not okay. And why is it not okay? That's, of course, Kedushin. That's the Sugya Bava Basra. So, what the Rashba just made, our Sugya, it's a tremendous Chiddush. It's such a Chiddush that not everyone even agreed to it, and maybe didn't agree to it. So, the Rashba did, he took a Sugya that seemed so simple. What do you need Das Ish for? It's obvious. So the answer is, you're right, it's obvious. On the basic level, it's obvious. But the application, the case of Tal Yuv Zabin, is far from obvious. It's a machloikism of Basra, and you need a Mishnah in Kedushin to tell us that that, in fact, is the din. So when all the dust settles, the din is, min haTorah, you need Das Isha for one of three reasons. We could have theoretically gotten away with Das Isha with the Tal Yuv Zabin, and min haTorah, you can, but the Rabbanon, you can't. That's the din of Afkos conditions. There are really two different levels of the Bash Sugya in terms of what is Das Isha, what's not Das Isha. Hopefully, Beit Hashem tomorrow. So we're going to pick up as to where does other Das, where does Das Isha play into this picture? Just, and we'll try to continue this tomorrow.